Well, good morning, New Life Wichita. It is an understatement for me to say that it warms my heart to see what you all are doing here, and that this is in the infant stages, the beginning stages, because it takes a few years to get the ball really rolling to where it's kind of like a tree. You know, a tree has the majority of its growth underneath the ground, in the root system, and then all of a sudden, it just takes off. And that is going to happen with New Life Wichita. I believe that 100%, and I can tell you why. Because I see the heart. I see the kingdom-mindedness. I see that it's not about us attitude. And that really starts with Chad and his heart, where he is coming from. I've had opportunities to sit down with him, not enough, but I hope that changes. And but every time we have gotten together, I see that he is passionate about the church. He's passionate about seeing people come to know Jesus. And so my own history with the church started back in 2003 when I was not connected at all. I have to tell you the Crib Notes version of my story, or we'll be here for 2 or 3 hours, and I know you don't want that. But I did not grow up in the church. I was baptized when I was 7 years old, but it was in a small window of time when we actually went to church. And then we didn't have a connection with a church body. So I grew up believing in God, but I had really no clue who Jesus was. And so my faith, quite honestly, was disconnected and headless. I really love the concept of this bobblehead Jesus series that you guys are getting ready to launch this morning and carry on for the next 5 weeks. It makes a ton of sense, and I'll try to unpack it a little bit for you. But my faith was just one of those where I lived in a family. We didn't have atheists in our family. Nobody would claim that they didn't believe in God, but nobody talked about God. We had one guy who would say grace at the family gatherings, and then everybody would go to the microwave and reheat our food because he was way too windy. Windier in a sack full of hearts. I heard I could say whatever I want to do. Okay. So, that's how I grew up. But then in 2003, I had what I now understand is a divine appointment. I had what I would call then, and I still actually do, a setup. I got set up, and I was invited to join a church plant, and it was called Grace Point. And it started out at the zoo. I'm telling you, it looked exactly like this. And what will happen, I'm going to guess that your kids will force you into a different space. You'll have so many kids that are coming that you'll have to move into a different space or add rooms, and then your adults will move into the bigger auditorium here. It's going to be a beautiful thing. And it will require a couple of different things that I'll talk about here shortly. But our experience was that we outgrew the facility that we were in at the zoo, and then we moved to Mays South Middle School, which is now Mays South High School, which was way too big for us. But we grew into that, and then we ended up purchasing in 2010 a former theater, Cinemas West Theater, and we remodeled that, and we've been going ever since. But what happened early on for me was an understanding that church isn't perfect. Do you know why? Because you're here. Because I'm here. But as we grow, if we are sold out to understanding that if we leave Christ as the head of the church, and then we together as the body grow, that is exactly how we will see this go from the infant stages to a full maturity, just taking this city by storm. I heard a pastor say one time, he said, if you take Christ out of the word Christian, you're left with Ian. And Ian ain't going to do much for you. Ian's not going to lead you anywhere. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about in the foundational scripture for this series. And it's in, if you have a Bible, it's in Ephesians chapter 4, But I want to kind of set up the book of Ephesians and why Paul wrote it. He had a church plant in Ephesus that he was writing a letter to. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to start out reminding them of God's love, of God's mercies, of God's graces, because they were starting to drift away from this foundational message that Christ is the head of the church and that you, as the members of the church, are the body of the church. And so he's telling them about the love of God. In Ephesians 2, he talks about the grace that we are saved by grace and not by works. It is by grace we are saved and our faith alone. And then there's a transition that begins in chapter 4, verse 1, that says this: "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Now, one of the things that I like to do, I'm starting to feel comfortable, is I like to have a little response. And so every now and then, I'm going to say this. And then I'll say something, and you say this. That's all you say. You say this. No, you say what I say. You say what I say. Because I was just talking with E.T., there's a difference between teaching and talking. If you're not listening, I'm not teaching. I'm just talking. And so say this: always be humble and gentle. So if we didn't say anything else for the remainder of our time together, and you just moved forward today with that approach to the church, always be humble and gentle. In all situations, be humble and gentle. You would be taking a huge step forward. But there's so much more. Always be humble and gentle, he says, because you're called. Let me tell you what, right now, you are here because you are called. You're looking at somebody who is like completely unqualified, but completely called. I got called into, I told you I wouldn't talk in between scripture, but I'm going to do it anyway. So you pull it down real quick. They'll read, they won't listen. So when I got called, the setup, and I got involved with Grace Point Church, I was a part of the worship team. And I was completely, I mean, I was deathly afraid of public speaking. I could sing because I had been in a band, but I couldn't speak. I almost dropped out of high school because I was going to have to take speech. So the time comes when our lead pastor wants to take a break. This was the first time that I ever sat in and gave a message. And he says, "Okay, I'm going on a vacation. I want a little bit of a break. You're going to have to preach for 2 weeks. I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "2 weeks." So he gave me Philippians, and he said, "Preach 1 week out of chapters 1 and 2. Preach the second week out of 3 and 4. You'll be good to go." So I opened it up. I stood there. You know the whole saying that the number one fear is public speaking. The number two fear is death, so people would rather give the eulogy than be in the casket. That was me. So I opened up the Bible and I read Philippians chapter 1. I said one thing completely unrelated to the message. I read Philippians chapter 2. I forgot to pray. I walked off the stage. The next week, I thought, I'm going to do better. I read Philippians chapter 3. I said two things completely unrelated to the message. I read Philippians 4. I prayed. I walked off the stage. It was the last time for several years that I had given the message at Grace Point Church. And here's something. How much time do I have, actually? I'm feeling really comfortable with you folks. I forgot what I was going to say. I completely forgot. Yeah. What the heck was I going to say? I guess it wasn't important. God was like, uh-uh. Move on. Be patient. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your, say, love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is, say, one body, and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. The greatest challenge that we face as the church is remembering. Because there is one Spirit regardless of what we do. There's one God regardless of what we do. There's one faith regardless of what we do. But the one body part, the one body together, remembering that we're all a part of the body and that we're truly only as strong as our weakest body part. How many of you have ever stubbed your toe and it affected your whole body? It is an incredibly debilitating experience. A hangnail can ruin your day, right? It's that critical that we are as strong as we can possibly be all together in the body. But it says that this is all there for us for a hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Say, I am gifted. And you are. You are gifted. God has gifted you with uniqueness to serve the body, to serve within the body, to serve within the church. His purposes are walked out as you use your gifts that have been given to you freely. You're so much more gifted than you think. I had so many doubts. And I don't stand here and claim to be incredibly gifted. I'm not. But I'm way more gifted than I ever thought I was. And it's because of the head. It is because of Christ. It is because of a surrender and being part of a bigger picture. It's such a blessing to be a part of something bigger than yourself. What God wants to do and will do through your surrender and your unitedness is so far beyond what you can imagine. I could not have begun to imagine what I have experienced and will experience because of a simple saying yes. The request was made and I said yes, and it's been an amazing ride ever since and continues to be. Notice verse 9, that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one, just imagine that, the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Fill the entire universe with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of his church, his people. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility, starts with Chad, and then it goes into the leaders of the church, and I really honestly think that I'm speaking to the leaders of the church. So whether you want to admit it or not, you are here today because you are called. Say, I am called. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be, say, mature in the Lord. Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, all of a sudden, what you see is the bobblehead image, where it's not just this huge bobbling head and a tiny, scrawny little body, but a fully mature body. That is the image that has been placed before you with the bobblehead series that we've got, Bobblehead Jesus. 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the, say, head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So maybe you're sitting there today and you're saying to yourself, I am mature. Why is he calling me immature? I've been going to church pretty much my whole life. I believe in Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior. I am mature. Well, what does a body look like? If it's normally proportioned, but then maybe it has one big, huge Chad Pickering bicep. Just a big one. We'll give him two. Two huge, just huge biceps, but everything else is immature, little scrawny. Do people go, man, look at that dude's biceps? No, they go, dude ought to work on something else. Good gravy. Do a leg workout. Well, the reason that we don't compliment that kind of a scenario is because just because you're mature, you're still within the context of a body of people, and the most mature thing that you can do is help somebody else grow. And so today, I want to kind of launch into what Chad is going to carry you through over the next several weeks, and I'm calling them the five P's of the Pickering Pumped. There's a lot of P's. He gave these P's to me, by the way. So that's why I'm calling them his five P's. This is how we grow into big faith. We grow into big faith, and it's critical that we grow into big faith together with unity. But it has to be something that we grow into big faith with unity as we do grow individually. It's important for us to take personal responsibility for our part of the growth, but our part of the growth is always in context with the bigger picture of the health of the body, the health of the church. And so the first Pickering P is this: practical teaching. I know that you're getting that here. I know that practical teaching for you is going to help you to apply this to your life, to apply the biblical teachings to your life. Sadly, there are some experiences that we can go to on a Sunday morning, and we can go to a preacher teacher who will do everything in their power to show you how smart they are, and they won't use anything less than a 9-letter word. They do their best accidentally to confuse you right into inaction. You walk away and you have no idea. And yes, this is me being judgmental. But the reality is the Bible is very practical. The teachings in the Scripture are very, very, very practical, especially if we stay connected at all times to the gospel message, to the gospels in Scripture. It's the teachings of Jesus. We can take the church as far as it can possibly go, even if we stick tightly to the teachings of Jesus. And so today, we remember that the Christian life is a practical life, lived in connection to the body, to the church, and connected to the teachings of the Bible. I will never forget this. This would have been around 2000. Four or five, Not that it really matters. I was sitting at our kitchen table having a conversation with my mom, who passed away later on in 2007 from just a massive heart attack like that. But she grew up her whole life, pretty much, going to church. She got married to my dad. We pulled away from the church. And then later on, as my parents got divorced, she went back to the church. So she had a lot of church experience. What she didn't have was a biblical knowledge. She said these words to me. She said, I've been going to church pretty much from my childhood up to the time that I was an adult. And then I never actually knew the Bible. That what they were teaching me, I just wasn't received. I just didn't, I didn't hear it. And it was such a shame. I was almost saddened by that, because that had an impact in my world. It affected our family. Because a knowledge of Scripture is an incredible gift. It's a gift of wisdom. It's a gift of avoiding a whole lot of potholes. It's a gift of being able to navigate life on life's terms with a higher power, with a much greater director as the head. And so today, the first P, practical teaching, that is what you all will experience here. And that's it's a gift. It's a pure and complete gift. The Scriptures are a gift to us. Number two is this. Providential relationships. I had to look up the word providential. So it's divine. It's favored. It's beneficial. So it's beneficial relationships. And I'm telling you right now, my life would be so much emptier if it was not for the relationships that I now have and have experienced over the last 15 years through the church, through the body. That's why groups are so critical. That's why getting involved is so critical. We have seen over the years that someone who comes in to the church and they're brand new, they will be there for a little while and leave if they don't get connected beyond just the Sunday morning experience, as far as sitting there. If they don't get connected into serving, if they don't get connected into groups, if they don't get connected into going out with the body and serving the community, they'll leave. If they get connected, man, they stay. It is truly, truly, truly an amazing thing. And these are divine relationships. I look at so many people in my world that I'm blessed with, and I know the only way that I know this person is through God. The only way that I know this person is through God. This person, this person, this person. And it's amazing. That is a blessing and a gift right there, providential relationships. There's one in particular that I have, and he is a mentor of mine. His name is Steve Miller. Now, you want to talk about big faith. He has big, huge, giant faith because he is a missionary to China. And he has walked into China with more Bibles in bags then you could even begin to count, which can get you thrown into prison. And I'm not talking about, you know, easy U.S. of A. prison. I'm talking about prison camps, work camps, where you most often don't even come out alive. And he does this because of his faith in God, who has delivered him so many times. I've had the blessing of sitting across from him and listening to him tell me stories that sound like they're coming straight out of the Bible. How God would take the guards and he'd be walking up there and all of a sudden a little bell would ring and the guards would go on a tea break. And there he goes. Right on through. And even he is just... But I wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have that relationship if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for the church, if it wasn't for a desire to continue to say yes to those opportunities to build big faith. So practical teaching, providential relationships. The third one is this, private disciplines. I just have a question for you real quick. How many of you plan on having lunch after church, like church people do, and then you're not going to eat the rest of the week? You're not going to eat a darn thing the rest of the week because this was enough. How's that going to work out? You're going to be hungry. You're probably going to get sick. And then you know what you're going to get? Really annoying. That's not good for anybody. Same thing with our faith. Same thing with our church. Same thing with our walk. It requires a close and personal providential relationship with God. That's the most important one, right? In a private setting, because there's so much more time that we spend at home than we do at church or even out in the public walking together in this. And so it requires us to develop. And maybe it starts with these providential relationships helping us to develop a private time of prayer. How many of you, if you're honest, are you honest? How many of you are a little scared to pray with others? I'll be the first one to admit it. When I said yes to helping to be one of the leaders at Grace Point, I had no clue what I was saying yes to. And again, one of those things was to pray out loud in front of other people. And it gave me panic attacks because I didn't think I knew what to say. I thought I would look stupid. I didn't think that it would be right. It would be almost unholy. And so, it just took practice. But this is the significance of the private disciplines to grow our faith, getting into private times with God. Quiet times, a lot of churches will call them quiet times. But opening up the Bible, don't let the dust continue to build up on top of it. Open up your scriptures, dive into it, and get somebody else that you can discuss. This is Bible studies, groups, all that. It's so important for us to do this together. Starts with the private time, and then moves into number four, personal ministry. Say this. And this is not my words, this is Paul's words. Say, I am called. It's a churchy word. But we say it because Paul said it. We say it because Jesus said it. But he says this, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And say, oh boy. And it's somewhere in between. That is the beauty of the greater the challenge, the greater the reward. That is the beauty of getting beyond your own comfort zone. That is the beauty of something bigger than yourself. And that is the beauty of being a part of a growing, healthy body. You are called. You are called to personal ministry. But again, remember, we are only as strong as our weakest body part. And so commit. Commit to growth. Number five is pivotal circumstances. We've all either maybe experienced it ourselves, or we know of someone who, as an example, has a child. And there's something about bringing a child into the world that reveals to you just how unqualified you are. And you don't know how in the world am I going to navigate this thing called parenthood. This is a miracle. There must be a God. So many times. That's what happens. Either a event in your life that is life-shattering, or an event in your life that is just, it blows your mind, but it opens you up to the reality that there's so much more to this than we've been admitting. and these pivotal circumstances, which was for me the setup, was the beginning of what for me has simply been a surrender. Because the strength of my own calling is the fact that it cannot, could not, cannot, and will not be in my strength. Like, I had not sought it out. I was in no way, shape, or form planning on going into ministry, and I got invited to be a part of something bigger, and God has been in control the whole way. And I fought it. I fought it. Only maybe every other day. But the strength for all of us can be knowing that we are here because we are called. We are here to live in unity. There will be growth when there's health. And there will be growth when we leave Christ in Christian. Chad wrote this note out for me. He said, our goal is to make followers of Jesus, which equals prevailing, he loves the peace, prevailing faith and selfless love. Prevailing faith and selfless love. That's New Life, Wichita. So, I had some bonus teaching. Do I have time? Have you heard enough? This is actually way more than I give our people because they listen for like 5 minutes. You listen because it was new. A new face. Can I tell you that you can measure love real quickly? You can do it every day. You can measure love. As Christ followers, we are supposed to be all about love. And so in every relationship that we have, you can measure at the end of the day whether or not you loved. And so L, you might want to write this down. This might be the best stuff all morning long. L is listen. Listen. It's a skill. Listening is a skill because the majority of the time when we're listening, we're actually preparing what we're going to say next, right? Or if it's with our spouse, the conversation is going, okay, I got to develop my alibi. I got to develop my defense. So we're not really listening, we're hearing. So to listen means that you're listening to the other person's perspective. This will create unity within the New Life body. Listen to hear others' perspectives. O is overlook. Paul actually reinforces this when he says, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Listen. Molehills quickly become mountains when we don't overlook the little things. We are all broken, but we're all somewhere between sinner and saint. And as we develop growth and we develop our identity in Christ, we become much more saint than sinner. We are co-heirs to the throne. And it starts with us being willing and able to overlook the little things. I'm telling you right now, that will save a lot of marriages just doing that. Listen, overlook. V is value. Value. With every role, with every volunteer, with every serving opportunity, are we valuing that role? Are we valuing that person? Are we valuing that body part? This should be a place where people come in and they hear more than any place else they go the words, thank you. It's good to see you. You are awesome. And you don't have to fake it. It's truth. We're here doing something that so few people get the opportunity to do in their lifetime. and it is to be a part of the most significant body that there ever has been or will be, the church. So listen, overlook, value, and finally, you know what the world needs more of? And New Life can bring it, is encouragers. So at the end of the day, did I listen? Did I overlook? Did I value? Was I an encourager? Or was I just a grump? God's got big plans for this church. Big plans. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we thank you for being here with us. And God, I thank you for the blessing of your church. And God, as we leave here today, my prayer is that every single one of us would know how much you love us, God. How much you overlook our little faults and how much, God, you value us. And God, that you encourage us through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through your grace, through your love, through your word, through time spent with you, through time spent with each other. And so God, today I pray that as we all go back into our relationships, we go back into our work environments, our school environments, back into the world, God, remind us of what you say in your word in Ephesians 3:20, that God, you can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in our wildest dreams. And that God, you do this not by pushing us around, but by your Spirit deeply and gently within us. God, I thank you. Thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Let's give God a hand today.